Welcome to the Property Couch, where each week you get to listen to two of Australia's leading property experts. Bryce Holdaway, co-host of Location, Location, Location Australia on Foxtel's Lifestyle Channel, and Ben Kingsley, Chair of Property Investors Council of Australia and the 2014 and 2015 Property Investment Advisors of the Year.
All right, folks, you're on the Property Couch where each week. Ben and I bring you the insider's guide to property finance and money management.
Geez, almost stumbled there, mate.
Did you pick that up?
Yeah, it wasn't your best. That's all right. It's only 157. It's like a nothing number.
it wasn't a milestone number, so I'll get away with it.
We'll move on.
On that note, how are you?
Good, mate. Good.
That's good. Hey, did you watch the Fed Express?
Fed Express.
Did you stay
home? Well, I was away. I was up the bush.
Yeah.
And I drove home. And I got home about 10 o'clock and flipped the TV on, and it was in the fifth set. So just started the fifth set, and the fifth set went for like 21 minutes.
Oh.
So we absolutely nailed him in the fifth set. So yes, I did watch the final.
You missed all the ups and downs there.
Yes, I did. I missed the, what did he win, 5-6 games in a row to win the fourth set. So I missed all of that, and I just got fed dominating. I'm thinking, why's this gone to a fifth set?
Well, he was up 3-1 in the fourth, and I'm thinking, oh, this is a formality, and then he didn't win another game for the whole set. So it's like, gosh. But I rode the ups and downs. I hadn't felt that level of sport anticipation since the 2013 NFL Grand Final.
When the ball was bouncing, your midfield all went, hey, wait a minute, the game started.
Go back to the replay. We were in it early in the fourth.
You should have won that game, the amount of missed kicks and goals.
Did I tell you, Max Bailey was playing for Hawthorn in that match?
Yes.
And at the end of last year, a good mate of mine invited me over to watch the footy, and Max Bailey was at his house. So that's interesting. He's actually a ripper bloke, which was annoying. Because I didn't want to like him. He took away, he inflicted a lot of sporting pain on me, that man. So anyway.
We move on.
Now.
And we're almost into footy season.
Almost.
Yeah, AFLX coming up.
Yeah.
I know our listeners love us talking about sports, so they're like, God, can they just get onto the property stuff?
Well, what's really good about this season, Ben, is that if you guys don't make the finals, how good will the bloodbath be?
Well, that's all right. No, he's got a 2-year contract.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all good. We're good.
Melbourne media.
And once we get the full forward from the Gold Coast Suns, we are laughing.
Who?
Their captain.
You reckon
What's his name?
Oh, you reckon you'll get him? Well, you don't know his name.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Is it
Steve Mike?
Well, no, not the island.
Tom Lynch.
Tom Lynch. Yeah, right. Once we get Tom.
We got Tom. He's here at the business. Thomas Lynch. Hey, you want to talk about a petition?
Well, I do. Well, I just, this is sort of work that we're doing with Picker. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, if you haven't joined the association, please join. Because there's changes.
Mate, I went for the $20 option.
Did you? You did the 5-year?
I'm in for the
What did Andrea get?
$20 option.
Good. I like that. Very good. Yeah, Jane got the $20 option as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about these proposed changes by the Victorian government, who have made 14 proposed changes to the Tenancy Act.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no consultation,
mm-hmm.
just basically just listening to potentially some disgruntled tenants. And fair enough, I mean, tenants have rights and they should have rights, where we want to get the balance right. But some of these changes, without consultation, we've got more questions around what you're trying to do. So there is a petition that we've set up, we've been involved with. We got behind, and that petition's all about basically saying that the whole idea of this rent fair, we think it's a bit unfair. And here's a couple of examples. So there's changes to the notice period around ending a lease, removing the ability for landlords to serve a 120-day notice period for no specific reason, and removing the option to serve a 60 or 90-day notice to vacate at the end of a fixed-term tenancy after the initial fixed term.
Mm.
So it's like, well, so does that mean that the tenants can just ultimately have full rights and not let the landlord who owns the asset? So we've got a bit of work to do there. Here's another one that's of interest to us. Allowing tenants to make non-structural modifications to the property.
Gosh.
Let me repeat that. Allowing tenants to make non-structural modifications to the property.
So imagine walking in and seeing the big pink wall.
Yeah, so again,
the green wall in the bedroom.
You know, things like installing a hook to hang a picture. I think that's fair.
Mm.
Okay, that's right. But what about concreting the backyard? Or, basically doing all different things, installing their own robes and built-in robes and all that type.
Mm.
I'm just sort of thinking, I think there needs to be some consultation there. I don't think it should just be right to tenants to have that ability. Capping bonds at 1 month's rent where the rent is less than 600 and 760 a week.
Mm.
So 1 month's rent where the rent is that. I'm thinking, okay, well, there's some fair and reasonable stuff in there, but there's some stuff like, not really great. Removal of landlord right to consent or to refuse pets.
Hmm.
So you may just polish the floors, and you've got a nice little property there, and they can have a dog with, you know, big claws and or cats or whatever.
Yep.
So I just think, again, I think this is a little bit political.
Mm-hmm.
This was sort of rushed in at the by-election where the Greens and the Labor Party were fighting over an inner-city seat. So sign the petition. If you don't think it's fair, go and have a look at it. Get the facts right. But get behind it. And these are the sort of causes that Picker will take up. Because at the end of the day, we support property investment for our members, and we want fair and reasonable outcomes for those. And when we see stuff like this with no consultation or one-sided consultation, where's that? So we're inviting government, if you're listening, State Government of Victoria, Andrew's government, come and talk to us. Bring us in on the conversation. Have Don't surprise us.
Mm.
You know, I'm sure we can find some common ground and we'll support some of the... I think, yep, if you want to hang a hook, you can hang a hook.
Mm.
But ultimately, these are the sort of things that we need to flesh out. So there we go.
So for the listeners, Ben, if they are listening on their mobile device, look at the show notes.
Show notes.
There'll be a link there.
Correct.
Or they can go to our Facebook page.
Our socials. There'll
be a link there. If someone's listening to this via our website, via the Property Couch, there will be a note that they can link. So it's very simple. And we'd certainly encourage people to not think that someone else will do it. If you're listening to this and you feel strongly about it, click the link.
Look, on the petition. Mean, you know, again, take a macro view of this. Think logically. If all this population growth coming to Victoria at the moment, if landlords feel that there's no, you know, no balance in terms of the Tenancy Act, well, they might shop elsewhere. And if they shop elsewhere, what happens to the tenants? They pay bigger rents because there's lower supply.
Mm.
So it really is important that we get the balance right. So we welcome conversation with government, but sign the petition and that will hopefully allow us to have a seat at the table.
We need 20,000 signatures, Ben.
Yes.
So we need a bit of momentum to get to that 20,000.
Yeah, I think they're around 8,000 or 9,000 by now. So yes, we absolutely need to get more of those signatures. So, and Bryce, we need those signatures by the 6th of February. Ooh. That's the cutoff. So there is scarcity. Act now.
Yeah, call to action, right, folks. Get on board. My mindset minute theme today, Ben, is as we kick off the year, if I had to follow, Ben, I think this would be no surprise to you.
Yep.
If I had to follow one virtual mentor and I was mandated that I could only follow one,
yep,
I don't think it's a surprise to you that I would follow Michael Hyatt.
Yes.
He's helped me enormously focus on what I need to focus on. He's helped me enormously structure my goals, everything he's got. The guy is, for me,
big very, fan. Very, very big helpful. Fan.
He says one of the really important reasons that successful people succeed is because they really protect their confidence, Ben. Protecting your confidence is key for completing your goals. So I thought about this a little bit.
Mm.
And so what are some of the things that people could do to protect their confidence?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So one is they could do less. Less?
Like, less? Yeah.
They could do less.
How about do less?
They could do less. Wishing and comparing and more doing.
Yep.
So just get involved.
Get involved. That's right.
And know that you will make mistakes and fall, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because the idea that we don't want to make a mistake gets part of the confidence. So we just got to do the basics and keep doing well. And I always say to my dearly beloved Andrea that you can lose your confidence, but you can't lose your ability. So remember that. And if you can keep doing the basics, you will continue to protect your confidence because you don't lose your ability.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we talked before in the podcast about getting started.
Mm.
Is, you know, one of the biggest things you can do just by having a go.
80%
of winning is beginning. So very, very good, mate. I like that. That's good. So when he was talking about confidence, I'm thinking, well, how do you summarise confidence? But it's pretty easy. It's just the belief that you can do something.
Mm.
You know, so the ability's always there.
Well, the ability's there. You can just go back and do the basics.
Beautiful.
Good message for Collingwood Football Club.
Oh, well, we do the basics. All right. We're just...
Hey, on the Mindset Minute theme, yes, you know, I came across a blog where someone had quoted Jim Rohn.
Yep.
And said, why...
Superstar.
Four reasons why you should think like ants.
Ooh.
I thought, oh, that's a good little... That's a good little interesting idea. So I floated the idea past you and you were happy to get on board. And I thought, well, how can we come up with some reasons why property investors should behave, think... Act, do what ants do.
Ah,
so that's what today is about. So all here you go, folks. We'll throw a free
minute. Thought we'd make a reference to ants in property investing, management, and finance.
So today, the seven reasons why property investors should think like ants.
Here we go.
At the end of this, let us know what you think. Let us know if I drawed a long bow on this.
Or we're not on drugs. We didn't experiment on hallucinants.
So here we go. We're going to do this. So we've come up with seven, Ben.
Yes.
So let's have a go.
Let's have a go. What's number one, mate?
All right. Ants aren't intimidated by the size of their workload.
Oh.
You have to start there. So the sheer size of the objects that they need to carry, they are not... In fact, you know they can carry up to 50 times their own body weight?
It's nuts, isn't it?
It's amazing.
It is nuts.
So how do we apply that to property investors? Most of us have big goals.
We do.
With when it comes to being financially independent. So if you think about if someone wants a $2,000 a week passive income or $100,000 a year, a bit over $100,000 a year, they need $2.5 million worth of income-producing assets outside of the family home, returning them, say, 4% to get that.
Yep.
Now, outside of the family home, people are thinking, gee whiz, I don't even have a family home worth that fully paid off, let alone something outside of that fully paid off. So it is, for a lot of people, a big, hairy, audacious goal. I guess from our perspective, having built hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of plans, there is a method and there is a process and there is, if you have a step-by-step approach to what you do, it actually can achieve these big goals, step by step, a little bit of a time. So think like an ant.
Yeah, well, think like an ant and act like, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I think the same principles apply here. So I really like this point that they just get on with it. But in terms of they aren't intimidated by the workload. And in property investing, the best part of the workload is the intensity early on in terms of the planning, the research and the execution. And then it's a bit of set and forget. You know, we talk about that sort of, so, you know, I know we're going to talk later about, you know, they what they're doing. I mean, the reason why they're so super active is they're obviously putting food supply away for the winter that's coming. But the point we're making here is, you know, don't be overwhelmed. Okay, don't think that I can't see that future. Just sit down and break it down into bite sizes. The same way in which, you know, you go back to the sporting analogy, we're in pre-season. You know, if I walked out and said to everyone, this is the workload that we're going to get through. You're going to run 4,000 kilometres. Everyone's going to go, my God. But if they break it down to, okay, today's session, morning session, we're going to do running, sprints, whatever. And then, so again, all of a sudden they've departmentalised it and put it into these sort of boxes. And then it becomes easier. And that's the same thing with investing. The boxes you're talking about are cash flow management. The boxes you're talking about is then understanding future plans and then looking at what you can affordably borrow and then execute, you know, and then obviously asset selection and, you know, and making sure that happens. So there you go.
Mate, I like it. So the plane uses most of its fuel while it's taking off.
Yeah.
Property investors use most of their emotional and mental fuel in that first property taking the portfolio off.
Yep.
But you talk to anyone who's bought multiple properties, Ben, the second one was nowhere near as scary, if they've done it right, was nowhere near as scary as the first one. But you got to get through the first one to get to the second one. So
love it.
There you go, folks. Ants aren't intimidated by the size of their workload. So property investors shouldn't be intimidated by the size of the big, hairy, audacious goals that they set for themselves.
I agree.
All right. Number two, Ben.
Ants value teamwork. Basically, well, we know you just need to see them walking in lines and bringing food back and going to get more food and what. They just basically work together. And no single ant can do only so much. A single ant can do only so much, but when they get together, the power of collaboration, the power of teamwork to achieve their big, hairy, audacious goals, they get a lot done, don't they?
Well, they do. If you think it, so obviously the analogy or the reference here is that investors should surround themselves with a team. But if we go back to the Fed Express on Sunday night, when he was feeling down, he looks up into the box and there's the coach and his wife and his entourage there that help him through that.
Yep.
Even though at the end of the day, he's the only one who can actually hit that that backhand or that forehand to make the winning move. So property investors, you are responsible for your own destiny. If it's up to, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. That's fine. But you do need to that's for the motivation and the intent and the movement. But you do need to surround yourself with other people. So ants value teamwork. So property investors should value teamwork as well.
I agree. I mean, you can outsource a lot in the investment space. I mean, there are, you've got to make a decision in terms of how much knowledge and experience you have compared to the people you want to surround yourself with. So if you're surrounding yourself with people who have the same or less knowledge than you, the reality is the sum of all of those parts aren't going to be much better than you by yourself. But if you can surround yourself with people who have greater knowledge, greater understanding, greater experience, and who are collaborating. I mean, if you think about businesses, imagine, well, our business, what, 40-odd staff or whatever, you know, hundreds of years of experience, all collaborating, you'd think the sum of all of that would be quite powerful, right? So that's what you're sort of doing when you're saying, okay, I need a team around me. So you're trying to say to yourself, and it's an honest assessment, how much of this do I know versus how much do these people know, and can I leverage that? And do I see value in that? And most people should build themselves up with a team. We talk about sports stars before doing it. But in your investment, you will absolutely need to have, in our view, a property investment advisor. You need to have a great buyer's agent. You obviously need to have a mortgage broker, investment savvy. And you need to have an accountant and also a lawyer who's part of that. Now, that's your minimum team. Then you've got property managers. Then potentially you've got your maintenance team. You've got all of these different people, and that they're the networks that you build up when you become a property investor.
Mm. And when you're young and experienced, you lean on those people who've got more experience than you. So the ants would be doing the same.
Correct.
But they're all heading in the right direction. So number one, ants aren't intimidated by the size of their workload. And number two, ants value teamwork. For me, number three, ants are organized, Ben. There's no chaos.
Like, you know, well, look, to me, sometimes it looks like chaos,
but they're all heading towards the same goal. So if they're moving in this direction and everyone else is moving in that direction, not going to work well. But they're organised going for the same thing. They will be moving in the same direction, so they get all the stakeholders on the same page. So for us to achieve our goals as a portfolio builder, we need to get everyone. So obviously we need to get the spouse or the partner or the person that we're sharing life agenda with, have to get them on the same page. Because if we're not walking in the same direction, that's where you see people subject to fads or subject to making, I guess, speculative decisions or making ill thought through decisions because they've got people on opposing teams trying to run the agenda.
I mean, if you watch how an ant colony works, they've got the outliers who go and look for the food. If they find the food, they then report that back, and then they send out the army and they go and collect that food and bring it back. So if I use that similar analogy to the way in which you should be doing it, this is where we sort of say you still need to be holding your team accountable and yourselves accountable. By that, I mean go out and do a bit of research, do a bit of learning about the skills of the people that you may be working with. You know, encourage yourself to a minimum standard of understanding, and then, you know, continue to gather more information. So if the husband or the wife is going out and doing some research or reading a new book or doing something like that, and then bringing that back in and, bit more collaboration and being more organized, that makes sense. Mm. And of course, you know, ants have a plan. The plan is pretty simple. They've got to get out there and do what they need to do. And they need to, you know, basically bring all that food back and keep that in store. So that's how they do it. Same thing. We think the best buildings have obviously been built on great foundations. There were plans involved. No different when it comes to investing. No different when it comes to life. Plan the lifestyle design that you want and then go off and execute on it.
I think it's said beautifully, mate. So you've got a plan to become what you plan to become, Ben. So the ants know exactly what they're trying to do and they've got everyone on the same page. So ants are organised.
Number four, mate. Number four, they never quit.
Mate, you never see a group of ants leave what they're carrying and just call it a day. Right? Done.
Job's done. I'm
70% is good enough. I found another investment vehicle over here that I like. I'm going to go and do that now.
Yeah. No. I want a break. Wait, there's a new union. Now, there was that ants movie, you know, but the reality is that's it. That they are a collaborative unit and they make a colony as successful as it is through doing that work.
If ants are headed somewhere, Ben, try and stop them because they'll look for another way. Yep. They'll climb over, they'll climb under, they'll climb around. They just keep moving forward. So that philosophy of never quitting is something that we probably we come across a bit when you've got someone who's decided to invest and it hasn't worked or for whatever reason the neighbour did it and hasn't worked. They've gone down a path and they haven't seen it through to fruition. And we were talking about it yesterday, remember how it's not the first 5 years, it's the last 5 years that matter.
Yep.
And how many people have you seen that stuck around for those first 5 years and didn't see the results they wanted and then moved it on and someone else just took advantage of what would have been theirs in the last 5 years of that compounding formula? It's important that you do not quit once you've started. And if you stay realistic, conservative, not get rich quick, playing the long game, doing all the right things, you should be able to stay the course pretty well.
Yeah, I think some of the very, very best investors on the planet will talk about the art of patience and timing.
Mm.
They'll always talk about that.
Mm.
So be greedy when others are fearful. Be fearful when others are greedy is a timing play, okay, and a patience play. So people might be looking at the markets going, wow, look at that US market. I want to get in because it's had amazing run and everything's going. The great investors might be sitting back and saying, that's okay. You know, I'll get into the market when I feel it's right. And what we normally see is the herd mentality of the masses, and then the great investors play the patience game. Now, what we're talking about in terms of property is the best time to invest is when you can afford to invest. And then the patience game is just letting that beautiful property, like a nice big heavy cab sav, sit and just breed to beautiful drinking into the future. And that future is usually long term. So that's the message we have for people. So there is an art form there. So if you're on a property that hasn't done anything for a couple of years, absolutely you need to be mindful and revisit that property and have a look at the demand and supply score, those types of things around what's happening, to see whether you are on a dud. But usually the properties that are well located over that long period of time, they will go through cycles. So don't be impatient and think, I've got to get out of this one. It's not doing enough for me, because the cost of getting in and out of property compared to the actual overall return that you may be getting may not be in your best interest to actually do the selling. It might be worth doing the holding.
Yeah, if you think about the cost of selling out of Sydney right now for a property, it's expensive. It's 150 grand just for agents' fees and stamp duty if you want to get onto the next one. So if you want to get in and out, it's expensive. But there's some clues, Ben. Just go and have a look at our interviews with Tom Panos.
Yeah.
Jan Summers.
Yep.
Craig Stevens. Jane Slacksmith. I'm always interested
Margaret
to talk
Lomas.
To Margaret Lomas. The people who I've been investing for almost 20 years,
yep.
But the people who've been doing it for 20 to 30 years, I'm really interested in, because they have seen this exponential growth that's happened in this part of the cycle that's just enormously leveraged their portfolio. And if they had have quit it, if they had a quat,
quit.
If they had have quit it,
yeah, yeah.
Quat. they would not be enjoying that. So the ants stay the path, they never quit. So good property investors stay the path and they never quit.
So don't be a quitter. Just basically stay the path. Be focused on the long-term outcomes, but do all the short and medium, small-term things well, which sort of links back into that organisation.
Mm.
You know, be organised and don't be intimidated by the size of the workload.
Mm. So Ben, I remember that listener told me I didn't summarise, so I'm trying to summarise well today. Number one, ants aren't intimidated by the size of their workload. Two, ants...
We listen to feedback.
We do, absolutely. Ants value teamwork. Three, ants are organised. Four, ants never quit. Five, Ben, this is a good one.
Five, ants think winter all summer.
So winter's coming.
Winter's coming. Winter's coming. Now we're seeing sentiment shift.
Hey, we're seeing how strong people's mental fortitude is to not quit right now,
yeah.
Because it's no longer summer. It's getting, in some parts, it's winter, and it's important to know that we knew this was coming. So what did people do during summer to set themselves up for this time? Because I tell you what ants do, Ben. They are never so naive to think that summer will last forever. Ants gather their winter food in the summer.
They do, and it's really important to understand. I mean, if they've got to survive a cold winter, and obviously our climate down here in Australia is a little bit different. You know, we might see some ants in winter, so it might be a little bit weird, but think of all of those northern hemisphere places where there are ants, and obviously they go away, put that store inside their nests, and away they go. But in terms of property investors, so, you know, how do we relate that back to property investing? That's about having buffers. That's about, again, planning for the future. Now, we say a minimum cash buffer should be 6 months, right? 6 months with a maximum, you know, can be up to 10 years for some people, depending on how conservative they are. But anything below that 6 month period doesn't give you enough runway to basically pivot to do what you need to do. Now, if people are at 3 months, that's really tight. That's super aggressive. And you think about if your financial circumstances change and your cash flow was to change, then that will put you into a little bit of financial stress. We don't want financial stress. Mm. This is about steady as she goes, all the way, and we want to see basically 6 months minimum buffer, but ideally for our clients, we work on between that 6 and 12 months. Mm-hmm. Some are even better than that, depending if they're low risk profile. So, you know, that's where it sits. Now, and that's just one of the messages there. You know, planning for the future and putting store away is also about seeing where your equity sits as well. And if you've got the opportunity to get, you know, a little bit of buffer in terms of your lending and a smaller line of credit for even further emergencies, some people set up $10,000 buffers, $20,000, and it just sits there. And it's like they never really will call on it unless there's an emergency. But it's just nice to know that they've made that planning for what it looks like.
Yeah, so look after the pennies and the pounds, take care of themselves. So obviously we've talked a lot on this podcast about money smarts. But if you're following money smarts throughout the summer months when you've got, when it's plentiful, and you're trapping more of that surplus, which you're putting into the buffers that you're talking about, Ben, that's going to serve you very, very well during winter. It's the people in summer who've got surplus and they squander it. And, you know, the classic well-documented smashed avocado, like they just really live a little bit too much in excess during the good times. That's when they start to struggle in the winter. So I agree, buffers, having lines of credit in place, and also just making sure that you drill deep on the basics. And the basics of money management is money smarts. And if you understand money smarts in summer, you're definitely, like, it's, if you're in winter, you don't want to be learning the basics of money smarts during winter, because you're in panic, your mindset's anxious, you're making poor decisions. So, but when things are going well, you set yourself up. So ants think summer, think winter or summer, Ben.
And they what they're doing, Bryce, is they're basically saying to themselves, those excesses just won't basically mess up their strategy. So we always see that the people who get into a lot of money trouble are usually because of credit cards and the excesses over that time period, and it's filling a void in their lives, which is deeper than the money story. Correct. Usually. So you know, they think that retail therapy is a way in which they can get them, but it prolongs that, you know, that bottoming out.
Yeah, so people, it's a temporary high, isn't it? In the moment, it feels good, but we forget that it's fleeting. It's not lasting. Happiness is only a very short window of time. But unfortunately, the happiness wears off, but the credit card bill doesn't.
No, that's right. So we want to be careful around that. And obviously, we're at the other side of that. I mean, it's almost, well, you know, it's February. So here we are. First month's already gone in the new year. So it's now time that the, you know, those statements are arriving and we're looking at that. So next time, get them. Now, this is the best time to get your money smarts in order and plan for the future and making sure you're trapping that surplus, because it is usually the Christmas holidays that you're spending a little bit more than you expect to.
Yep, and you did a video on that, Ben, coming back from New Year with a little bit extra on the till. So if we might want to put that somewhere. Oh, I was just frowning.
We might, more work for me.
We might want to put that somewhere. So, Ben, he's gone to all that effort, Ivis. We might as well.
The AEWD. I'm not going to give away what it stands for.
Yeah.
The AEWD.
Yeah, the AEWD mindset.
Yep.
I got the last two. It took me a bit to get the first two, but I've watched your vlog, and I'm all over it. So, ants think winter or summer is number five. Number six, ants think summer or winter, Ben.
I like this. I like the way you work that in.
So
I had to read that twice the first time I saw the paperwork in front of me.
This is critical. Because we're about to move into a phase that will rattle a few people, being winter. And if they've got a long-term perspective, they'll be fine. But this is so important because during the winter, ants remind themselves that this too shall pass and it won't last long. We'll soon be out of here. So even though we will be in leaner times, summer will come back, Ben, because it has every year for the last 6,000 years. Summer follows winter, which follows summer. So again, investors need to be buying the best stock that they possibly can from the asset selection perspective. Now, you know, I think, did we talk about last week? GFC is the best time to buy, but no one wants to buy because of mindset. Yep, but during the leaner times is the best times because it's a fight to quality, but people are stepping back. And so you can buy the best assets with the least competition during this time, which will set you back up for when summer begins, and those properties will do wonderfully, wonderfully well. So
the cycle will come around. Mm-hmm. Just like what we're talking about, the cycle will continue to keep coming around, and when it runs and you're in at the ground level, it's a lovely feeling to know that you've got property in a market that's moving nicely. We've seen, you know, we've talked about this before, when winter was going to come, that stock levels would rise. And then once capital growth starts to slow, rents will start to rise. We're seeing all that coming through the data now. So we're seeing higher stock numbers in certain markets that have had wonderful runs. We're seeing yields start to improve in those markets off their historical lows. That's because the run was incredible in some of those markets. But we're also seeing other markets where, you know, the time is now where we're basically sowing the seeds, because we know that the sun's going to come up on those markets and basically there'll be good opportunity to make money.
Mate, you're such a wise man. Think about it from two practical perspectives. The Perth people who've been in winter for a little while.
Yes.
Summer's going to come.
Yep.
And what about the people who have just enjoyed summer in Sydney, Ben? I wonder if they can remember when winter was five, 6, 7 years ago, and they're thinking, wow, we're going to have our summer. Well, they've just enjoyed it. So they're on the tail end of the sunburn, heading back down towards winter. But
You're saying before about, you know, those who thought, let's get out of Sydney, it's not doing anything. Mm. Well, they'd be kicking themselves if they had got out in that sort of 2010 to 2012. Especially, I mean, you know, the big peak was 01 to 04. Then it basically had a hiatus almost right through to 2011-12. And if they had sat there and thought, well, that's it, you know, I'm questioning whether Sydney is the right market for me. You know, hasn't time changed in that potential point? So it's a great story. Ants think summer all winter.
Okay, Ben, and the last one, number 7, is flexibility. So whatever the obstacle the ant faces, they've got the flexibility to go over it, around it, under it. So that makes the ant comfortable in all situations. So I guess the obvious one for property investors is they've been faced with the headwinds of APRA's regulations.
Yep.
So instead of just throwing your hands up in the air, you work with an investment-savvy mortgage broker who is looking to navigate the space so that you can move around. And if you've gone through summer being able to get lending over 90% interest only, now you can't, you've just got to be flexible and know that at some point in time these rules may change, Ben, but right now this is what you're faced with. You know, who moved my cheese? You know, if you're not flexible.
Well, how good are those ants that make their own bridge of themselves? You know, they make these little bridges that they can climb. So that's the teamwork thing coming in. But just again, they work together, they're organized, they get it all, and they get over the obstacles in front of them. So the flexibility piece around investing is looking for the what ifs in your scenarios. And we're getting a bit of that now in terms of some of the feedback from some of the people who are doing plans with us at the moment. It's like, what if this happens? Or will property prices continue to keep going up as high as they have been? You know, can you show me a model that's a little bit more conservative than the current model? And that's making the invisible visible. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, I always refer to the investor. They're the chairman of the boards. They're the decision maker. I mean, in terms of the way in which a financial advisor and property investment advisor can work around cash flow, it's like, I'm your financial controller. I'm going to come in and say, this is the information that I have on hand. This is the feasibility and projections that I'm putting forward to you. Here's the tolerances in some of those numbers, and it still works. So we've got a little bit of pivot ability to move around that, but here's the line of sight that we've got right now, and we think that's the best recommendation. So ultimately, that's where we come to a conclusion where we say, okay, that's the plan we're going to follow. But we do know if this happens, we've got this as a bit of flexibility and provisioning so we can move around that.
I like it. Flexibility too, Ben, in that some people come in here and they're absolutely determined. They've read a book and I want positive cash flow. I only want yielding properties. And on the flip side, you've got people who said, I want to harvest equity. I want to build equity upon equity. I want to use debt to service debt. And we're conservative and we're saying, well, it's a couple of things. We're not a one-trick pony. So at some points in the portfolio, we'll have income. At other points in the portfolio, we'll be aggressively chasing growth. And at some points, we'll be chasing some balance. So having the flexibility of mindset to know that there's no one size fits all. What happens to your neighbour, what might not necessarily be the strategy that you should follow. And by not following their strategy doesn't make you unnervous, because yours has got some uniqueness about it. So I think for me, having that flexibility about your mindset not being a one-trick pony.
Oh, look, and our investment advisors are like that in terms of their story might be multi-million dollar property portfolio. This is how they did it. But they might be dealing with, you know, a high net worth individual, and they have the ability to grab more, you know, really high growth assets than what the advisor did. Well, the advisor's not going to say, well, follow my method, you know. It's going to be a tailored solution, and that's the most important message, that when you are seeking professional advice, that the advice feels like it's tailored. Mm. It feels like it's advice based on my circumstances, the lifestyle design that I want. It's got all of the big rocks in the jar that are around my purpose, the things that are going to give me fulfillment in life, and then you build a design around that, and it usually does accommodate a balance of properties around growth, balanced and yield facing assets.
I like it. Begin with the end in mind. Your $50 is no better than my $50 as we stand here right now. So that's ultimately, we're chasing an outcome that has the same sort of exchange for goods value. So it doesn't matter if someone's got a big single fronter in a massively blue chip suburb and you haven't got that. If you both ended up with the same goal but different assets, it doesn't matter because your $50 isn't better than my $50 if we're in the same country.
Well, it comes back to your mindset minute, doesn't it? Mm. In terms of looking at, you know, not worrying about what other people are doing, you know, in terms of wishing and comparing and doing more. Well, they're doing this and they're doing that. So don't, you know, focus on what we can do for you. We're going to get you to a better outcome. And ultimately, that's what investing is all about. It's about building wealthier tomorrows. So if you're going to do that, you know, yes, if they give you motivation, that's wonderful. All right. But don't think the motivation is because I need to beat them. Mm. Just think it's because I need to improve what's important to me.
Yeah, good point. Because if someone's got an end goal of $2,000 a week and they've got 20 properties, and Ivis has got a goal of 2,000 a week and she's got 7 properties, who cares who's got more properties?
Yeah.
Because you both got the same outcome.
Yeah.
So it's not about comparing how many you got.
No.
It's about the value minus the debt to give you that passive income. So,
mate, that was good. I like that.
You like that?
You know, when you came to me and said, I'm going to compare ants and property investment, I'm like...
I saw the whites in your eyes.
I went, okay, that's good. What are you drinking? What are you smoking?
But yeah. Ideally, it's not up to you, me or Ivis. It's actually up to the listeners if we've hit the mark. So give us some feedback.
Yes, true.
Give us some feedback on Facebook. Let us know if Ben and I are fanciful or if there's actually help. People love stories, Ben. People love anchor points so that they can remember this stuff. So let's go through them again. Number one, ants aren't intimidated by the size of their workload. Two, ants value teamwork. Three, ants are organized. Four, ants never quit. Five, ants think winter or summer. Six, ants think summer or winter. And seven, flexibility. So there you go, folks.
And now change ants to property investors.
Correct.
And there you go.
Yeah, well, we did it with 7 Habits of Highly Effective Property Investors, you remember?
Yeah, we did.
So here we go. Obviously, I can't remember what the episode was.
Jim Rohn, he's a guru.
Jim Rohn, I've planted the seed on that, and I wish we were in the era where we could have gone to a seminar that
agreed.
Either Jim Rohn or Zig Ziglar or both were at, but unfortunately, that will never happen. Hey, my life hack today, Ben, is courtesy of two people.
Yes.
One is Nicole Slade in our office here.
She yes.
put it across my radar.
Oh.
And number two, it's Minimalist Podcast. All right. Now, I always say that these life hacks have to be something that I'm prepared to do myself. I've got to be honest today, I am an aspiring minimalist. I reckon we've got too much stuff.
Ooh.
Andrea and I had the discussion recently. Probably got robust at times.
don't worry, I think my boys have got a few too many things in their playrooms.
Do we just have to continually buy stuff for these kids? Seriously, let's
let
them use their imagination.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there's a podcast there on the phone. So I...
or basically a session at the...
Now, I ran this past Andrea last night. I've got to be honest, she doesn't listen to the podcast, so she won't hear this, but there was a little hidden agenda underneath that I just thought I'd run it past her so it's on her radar so that she can think about it. It'll make more sense. All right, you ready? So the Minimalist Podcast have recommended the 30-day minimalism game.
Mm.
Ivis. Okay, here's how it works. Number one, get an accountability partner. All right? So Ben, you're my accountability partner. I'm yours.
Yep. Good.
Number two, each of us must get rid of one thing on day one.
Mm.
Pretty easy,
right? So
go in the wardrobe. Go in the wardrobe. There's a shirt I haven't used for a while. Bang. No worries. Done.
Gone.
Tick.
Yep.
Day two. What are we going to do? We're going to get two things.
Ooh.
Ooh, there's a t-shirt I'm not wearing. Those shoes have been in the...
Keep going.
Now, it sounds pretty good, right? So on the third day, you get rid of three and so on, so forth and so on. Now,
that's going to add up to a fairly big number.
Anything can go, Ben.
Ooh.
Clothes, furniture,
ooh,
electronics, decorations, mate, use your imagination. Anything you can think of.
Mm.
And I've got to tell you, you're going to need to use your imagination because week one, it's pretty easy.
So my little surfboard with Fiji written on it that sits in my drawer. Like Jane says, no. she goes, what is that? Like, it's just, you know, a little ornament that you get from a travel. It's got to go.
Gone. Got to go. Absolutely. But here's the deal. You can donate it. You can sell it.
Yeah.
You can trash it, whatever you need to do. But here's the rules. Whatever you do, each material possession needs to be out of your house and out of your life by midnight each day.
Ooh.
So it sounds pretty easy, obvious, right? Here's the numbers. I'd recommend, this podcast is actually going out on the 1st of February, Ben.
Yes.
I'd recommend you start today.
Ooh.
Because there's 28 days in February. So if you follow this formula, that's 406 items you're getting rid of for the month. But if you don't use February...
Oh, and you use a month with longer days in the month?
And let's say we choose April where there's 30.
Ooh.
You go from 406 to Ivers to 465 ooh items. So the pressure goes on, mate. You're going to find another 50 odd.
Oh.
59 items. But here's the problem. If you don't do February and you do March, March is 31 days.
Yeah.
Boom. 496 items.
Oh, my God.
So there's a difference of 90 items based on the month that you choose. So my recommendation is, if you know my wife, can you get her to listen to this bit? Because I'm going to need to get her on board. But secondly...
So I'm a little bit of a hoarder, Bryce. My old man's definitely a hoarder up. So he's like the crap he's got up on his property, you don't believe it, right? And he'll always think, I'll use that at some point. So I've got a little bit of that, you know, because you know, you don't fall too far.
So when are you going to use the Fiji thing?
Right. I mean, it's obviously I'm not. I mean, what did I buy? I don't know. Maybe I gave it to kids. I don't know. But it found its way back into one of my drawers. Because we all have
If only the listeners could see this, because Ben went from his hands by and then he goes, I'm a bit of a hoarder. He crossed his arms. Body language totally changed. Lean back a bit.
It was just like, so it's hard.
Yeah, because, it's hard.
And, you know, my biggest thing is I just hate landfill.
Yeah.
Like, I actually think that's got it. That's functional. Someone might like that. So that's the hard bit for me.
Right.
If it's, you know, a worn out shoe or something, no problems.
Yep.
If, you know, the shirt's got stains, no problems. Mm. No, any of that type of stuff. But the stuff that I think, you know, you pay good hard earned for that.
Mm.
And maybe one day I will get back into my hooky habit and use that hooky board or something. Yeah.
One day, mate, when you...
So you're like, what does it go? Well, the kids, maybe the kids... So that's a little bit of me. So I think I need to take note of your...
Marie Kondo, The Magic and Art of Tidying Up.
Yes.
She talks about that. You've got to look at the item.
Yeah.
And does it make you feel good?
Yeah.
And does it make you improve your happiness? If it doesn't, it's time to go. It's time to go.
Gee.
As they'd say on the Weakest Link, Ben. Fiji, it's time to go.
Time to go.
So
I might have to put that up on the socials, that little Fiji board, and see if someone wants it. Because, you know, it's free. You don't have to buy it.
Mate, well, you could donate. I'll post it. So that's day one for you.
I've got to remind myself to bring it in.
I reckon that's a huge undertaking to get that done. But if anyone wants to employ that life hack, Ivers, February is the month to do it if you want to achieve it. So if that's thanks to the Minimalists podcast and, of course, Nicole in the office. So there you go. Did you know?
So I've got a theme in with the ants, mate.
Okay.
Two things.
All right.
So what do ants and humans have in common?
We've got a bit of an odour when pressed.
Well, possibly. When pressed, we'd have a bit more of an odour after a few days. Big ant colonies, from the studies, move a lot faster. So when you get ant colonies in the millions, their pace tends to move quicker.
Mm.
They've got obviously more people to feed. Well, same with big cities. In the bigger cities, the population moves a lot quicker. And everything seems to move quicker. When you go out to an old, really small, old country town, and they do studies on very small ant colonies, things are a bit slower paced.
Yeah.
And there's some ant colonies that move very, very slow, just like some of those very small country towns we have around this great nation of ours.
Yeah.
So there's ooh, one I thing. Like, right. So did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. Well, I like that.
So the studies have made a relationship there. Now, the other one that, you know, I'm not going to take credit for because you basically, you know, did the hard work for me on this one, which is the magic?
Only you and I know that.
We can just let it go. Here we go. The biomass of all the ants on Earth is roughly equal to the total biomass of all people on Earth.
Come on.
Get out.
How can that be, man?
How is that possible? It's simply, I mean, you know, with all the people eating all this fast food,
6 billion
and, you
know, obesity. There's more. Yeah. Does that include the Americans?
Almost equals, roughly equals.
No, the people from America, listen, I'm joking. They just got big portions of us. They got big portions.
Don't worry about the US. We've got problems here with some of the kids getting around these days with a bit of overweight, you know, sort of a bit of extra.
But there are people from America, listen, so they're going to write into me. I was just joking.
Yes,
just,
of course.
There's just big portions over there. There's big portions.
Huge portions. Ants are so tiny, and we are so big. But scientists estimate there are at least 1.5 million ants on the planet for every human being. 1.5 million ants on the planet for every human being. And there's, what, 6 billion of us?
Mm, that's a lot of ants.
That's a lot of ants. Is there 6 billion currently on the planet? I don't know whether it's that many.
Oh,
I might have to Google that. We'll come back to that one. Who knows? Anyway, over 12,000 species of ants are known to exist on every continent except for Antarctica. It'd be cold up there. Mm. Hard to drill into this.
Up there?
Down there. Sorry. That's the other one.
Mate, yeah. Father Christmas is up there, mate.
Sorry, Antarctica. But yeah, hard to find food when you're on ice.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Most live in tropical regions. We all know that. I mean, man, the amount of ants you see in North Queensland is nuts. A single acre of Amazon rainforest may house as many as 3.5 million ants.
Oof. Wait, that's a lot of ants.
That's a lot of ants. So there you are.
Lucky
we live in
Melbourne, mate. Thanks. Probably not as many down here.
Thanks for that one. That was good. I like that.
Mate, it's a pleasure. Mate, I'm happy to help. But the first one you threw in yourself, I didn't know you
were there. I thought I'd need to bring something like to the table.
So, brilliant. So there you go, folks. Did you know all that stuff about ants? And, of course, how we can relate that to property investors. And hopefully that's helped. So for those of you who have stumbled across this podcast.
Just like you stumbled on your words there.
Man, I just thought, can we edit that out? And I thought, nah, we're off. If you've stumbled across this podcast, we do talk about more than just ants, just for quite a bit. So rewind, listen to the back catalogue at 1.5 speed. Hey, we're up to 620 plus 5-star ratings.
Thank you very much, everyone.
So we do read them and we do thank you for those. And of course, we're desperate for you to get hold of the Money Smart System. So if you're new to the podcast, thepropertycouch.com.au, homepage, really simple. Two things we ask for, Ben. Your first name and your email address that's legible and that we can send something to. That is it. There's no survey. There's no questions. That is it. We will send you the Money Smart. You can start putting it into place straight away. It will make a difference. And of course, if you want to follow us on socials, at The Property Couch, at Bryce Holdaway, and at Ben Kingsley AU.
I noticed you've actually updated that, which is good. Well done. And the book, just for those people, we've sold over 8,000 copies of the book, Bryce.
Yeah.
So thank you for those who have bought the book. We hope you got some value out of it. And if you are a reader and you like to see, you know, things documented and laid out and something to reference back to, grab the book.
Mm. Yeah, thepropertycouch.com.au/book, Ben.
Done.
Get it there. Put a little cheeky note in there.
20% discount on the site for those who buy.
TPC, you can put uppercase, you can put lowercase, you can put combination case if you like. Honest, can you?
That's the code. We're all over it. TPC 20.
She wasn't sure about the combination. It's been a while. Uppercase or lowercase. So, yeah, go and check out the book, folks. So, mate, that was fun.
It was great.
Until next week.
Knowledge is empowering, but only if you act on it.
Very true. See you next week.